What do we know about Facebook today that we didn't know yesterday?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. Good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson. Right after Wall Street wrapped up trading yesterday, Facebook did just what analysts have been anticipating for years and filed papers to sell stock to the public. As part of that required government filing, the social networking giant had to expose a lot about itself. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer has been going through the details, and she joins us now live from Washington. Good morning, Nancy.
Good morning, Jeremy.
So tell us some Facebook secrets that we've learned in the last 24 hours.
Well, here's a juicy one. Facebook made a $1 billion profit last year. Also, Facebook is looking over its shoulder. It says it's worried about competition. Google, for one, Jeremy, has ads that are more targeted because it knows exactly what we're searching for. And Google generates a lot more profit per user than Facebook does. And that's something that investors look at to gauge a company's value. So Facebook has to figure out how to get more money out of us. It already says it's going to keep more of our information, so maybe there's more of that type of thing coming. But Facebook will save some money on founder Mark Zuckerberg's salary starting next year. He's only going to be paid $1 a year.
So taking a little bit of a pay cut maybe, but...
Yeah, just a little.
Well, okay, so Facebook gets some money out of this when they go public. They bring in more cash. What are the downsides for Facebook?
Well, the company's going to have to disclose a lot more about itself and how it operates. It'll have to release financial reports every few months. It didn't have to do that before. Zuckerberg has made it very clear, though, that he is still going to run the company and investors won't have much of a say. Now, some analysts say Facebook should be worried about more government regulation. Josh Bernoff is senior vice president at Forrester Research.
The regulators from the EU in Brussels and in Washington could basically handicap the company by putting in rules about how they have to treat customer data. This would be a huge challenge.
And it's an ongoing one. Some Facebook users want more security for their data.
Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer in Washington. Thanks, Nancy.
You're welcome.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are mixed in overseas trading this morning, up 2% in Hong Kong, down a little bit in London right now. There's word this morning that two companies you may never have heard of want to join forces and become one $80 billion company. That would be the commodities trading firm Glencore and the commodities mining company Xstrata. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow jumped 83 points to close at 12,716.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Allianz, insuring more than 80 million customers worldwide and providing retirement solutions through its affiliated companies in the U.S., AllianzUSA.com. And by GoToMeeting by Citrix, bringing high-definition video conferencing to online meetings for face-to-face collaboration. More at GoToMeeting.com. Marketplace Entrepreneurship Reporting is supported by Farmers Insurance, agents committed to small business success. 1-866-200-4BIZ. We are insurance. We are farmers.
We're just 2 days away from the Nevada Republican caucus, so let's continue our Marketplace election series, The Real Economy, with a story of a state that is essentially the economic opposite of Nevada. It's a state that relies on farming, and with high crop prices, farmers aren't saving. They're paying down debt, buying more land, and investing in new equipment. Marketplace's David Gura takes us now to the economic bright spot that is Nebraska.
Tom Joyce caters to some pretty high-end clients.
I tell our salesmen we're dealing with millionaires every day, and you make sure you treat them well. I mean, like you're the maitre d' of a nice restaurant.
Joyce manages the Plains Equipment Group. It's a John Deere dealership just off I-80. Each piece of merchandise he sells, a new tractor, a new combine, costs hundreds of thousands of dollars. Think of it this way.
These guys buy Lamborghinis and Ferraris every year. They'll buy a $250,000 machine that they'll use for 6 weeks of the year.
We're looking at a 16-row John Deere planter.
Mark Jagels keeps one of those forest green farm Ferraris in his equipment shed. He grows corn and soybeans in Davenport, Nebraska, about 80 miles away.
Quiet. It is totally quiet. And I mean, we're sitting there probably half throttle, and you don't hardly hear anything.
The tractor's Bluetooth-enabled with satellite radio and air conditioning. It's computerized with GPS.
The monitor here That is everything from our guidance and controls the planter and everything right there.
In the winter, Jagels programs the system with his laptop. He tells it what to plant and where, how much fertilizer goes on a line of crops. Then, in the springtime,
I find that field, I bring up that line, boom, it's right there. You should never be off more than 1 or 2 inches as you're driving through the field.
Jagels says farming isn't as physical as it used to be. It requires less labor. Today, a tractor like this one can pretty much drive itself.
I can flip the steering wheel up, I can sit here, I can answer emails, I can do whatever I want to.
And according to Jagels, there's a lot less waste. In the kitchen, he shows me a printout with data from the tractor.
Planted soybeans, the average rate was 169,390 seeds per acre. It gives me the total seeds applied and the total acres that I planted.
And that kind of information, Jagels says, that efficiency is worth every penny. I'm David Gura for Marketplace.
And finally,
then put your little hand in mine.
It's Groundhog Day. Remember that song from the movie? Well, we don't yet know what Punxsutawney Phil is going to do this morning, but here at Marketplace, we thought we'd ask some experts what they're expecting for the next 6 weeks. Here's economist Tara Sinclair at the George Washington University.
I don't know as a groundhog if I'm going to see my economic shadow because I need to know what's going on with Europe and if it's a cloud over our sky or not.
All right, that's one prediction. Let's get another from Jack Ablin, Chief Investment Officer at Harris Private Bank.
Poking my head out of my burrow here, I think that things are looking to improve. What we're looking at is a situation in Europe that's not deteriorating. It's really just staying sideways. And the longer the news stays sideways, the more insulated I think we all become.
All right, now it's your turn. Send us your economic predictions for the next 6 weeks. Just go to marketplace.org and click on the link that says contact. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
It's a funny thing, but in Las Vegas, the number of foreclosures and the price of a college degree move together.
It just seems so hard to imagine that because it's like it just keeps going up and up and up and up and up.
I'm Kai Rizdahl. The state of things through the eyes of college students. It's the real economy. Our election coverage next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.